We're back, everyone, and I'm with Mark Hosak-Holland, who, as I said before, will be at the library January 17th to present Project Management Blunders, Lessons from the Titanic. And Mark and I have been joking on the break here. He had dropped the phrase groupthink, and I'm going to get him to explain that a bit because I was a little bit befuddled myself. I was mixing up think tank and groupthink, and I had in my head that we all think tanks are great. You get in there and you put ideas around, and it's wonderful having all these things coming at you. And yet, that's not what was happening with the Titanic. Mark, there was something else going on.
Yes, and it really related to the way the project had been set up in the first place. In fact, the project was very much driven, the Titanic project was very much driven by the goal to create the ultimate passenger experience. And Bruce Ismay was very much behind that. He wanted to, as a sponsor, he really didn't want anything to interfere in the way of that. So he pushed very heavily on the architects to make the compromises to the bulkheads, and that's basically what happened. They compromised on the several other areas as well, and but where the groupthink comes into it is to that point, the architects had amassed all these different emerging technologies that supported the safety requirements. And they basically believed very strongly that because this had never been done before, the overall safety of the ship was beyond anything that had ever been built. And that's probably true because no other ship had all these different safety features on board.
Okay.
So where the groupthink came into it was it evolved that this ship was practically unsinkable because they'd gone through different scenarios and looked at the way the ship would behave.
Okay.
And with all these different safety features, this groupthink had evolved that the ship was unsinkable. And therefore, making a few small compromises to the heights of three bulkheads really didn't think it'd make a big difference in the bigger picture of things. Right.
Okay, so if I hear you, I think they went against their
better judgment. Yeah.
Basically, they got into it and they started to sell it to themselves.
That's right.
Without, there you go, not having that step back once in a while and reevaluating.
That's right, and that's what project management really forces you to do, because if you follow the rigors of project management, you'll go through stage gates, and typically you would reevaluate important points in that stage gate. So you'd actually say
stage gate.
So when a project passes through different phases, so if it goes from
as each part is finished,
you go through a stage gate, which allows you to go to the next part, and you go through an evaluation process of what did we do? Did we meet our objectives for that particular phase? Are we ready to go to the next phase?
Exactly. So I see. So you get to the stage gate. It's your time to slow down, take a look at how things are going, and if maybe two or three things were successful, but something wasn't successful, it gives you that time to say, okay, we really have to stop until that's addressed, or it wasn't important and we can move forward.
That's exactly
what a stage gate does.
Yeah. So before you actually get into the car to drive to the grocery store, you stand at the door and you say, okay, have I got my list, right? Do I have everything on it? You know, oh, no, I don't. Okay, then I can't go to the next stage,
the
next phase. So I need to take a step back. So it's just a checkpoint along the way.
Okay.
And you have these through a project that helps you evaluate whether you're ready and whether you're going to meet the criteria.
Okay, so then let's bring it back to the small business person who may be attending this evening.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, I get the impression that many small business people are alone. They're doing it on their own. They may have one or two other employees, but basically it's their decision. What are the small business person like that going to get out of your evening? I mean, how do they... I mean, I can see where I could be by myself doing it and thinking, oh yeah, I did this, and I haven't really stepped back. What is a small business person going to take away from your evening that's going to help them slow down and do this work?
Well, I think what it'll do is it'll sort of highlight the things that can actually go wrong in the project, the hidden problems that
learn by the hard knocks.
That's right. Yeah, learn by the hard knocks. And as you said, it could be one person, but typically, when you enter into a project, you're going to have different stakeholders around you. You know, you're going to have people that are going to be supplying you things. You're going to have vendors that that give you...
That's true. I'm not thinking of that.
Right. And also, you probably have partners as well. And you're probably going to have a client at the end of it, or several clients. So it's usually wise to have sounding board to, and as I said, have these different checkpoints along the way to see if you're on track, and determine if you're actually going to meet what you set out to do in the first place.
Actually, I think I can think of an example for my own daily work. Is for many years, I've been in the job 24 years, and early on, I'm pretty much it for the adult services and the cataloging and the processing and the whole bit. Now we've got a couple of other staff who are better catalogers and processors than I am. And so they're asking questions and asking me to change things. I thought, okay, yeah, we can do that. And so I did. I made a change. I made the decision. And then I informed my outside vendor that we'd like to do it this way. And there was silence. I mean, I didn't realize there was silence until I got the phone call. But at their end, the gentleman phoned me, and I'm so glad that we had a good relationship. He said, he goes, we can do what you're asking, but it's going to require us a total rewrite in our computer system. I thought, oh my gosh, I never intended that. And that's the kind of thing that, even though I think I'm working by myself independently, I'm not.
That's exactly it, because there's so many dependencies that spin out from something like that. And again, it's important to, as you go through this project, is to have someone identify those kind of dependencies. So what you're talking about is scope management, is that you actually were asked to make a change to the scope, which would eventually affect the overall project. And and this is where project management, you know, takes a role, where you need to manage the scope. You need to understand the impact of requests, whether they are important, whether they're justified. Right. You know, if there may have been a very strong motivation to put those requests in, if it was strong enough, then you probably need to accommodate them. So again, you need to take these things into consideration.
Exactly. And one of the impacts could have been very negative in that case is if the person hadn't been comfortable enough to call me and say that to me. They would have probably done all the work, made all the changes, and been really angry with me, and my relationship would have gone down the tubes, and I wouldn't have even known why. So I develop good relationships right off the bat with people if you can, because you're going to need that feedback.
Right. So. And for a small business, a project that's running over a period of time, maybe say for 6 to 12 months, things change. And what happens is there's new opportunities open up, and you may want to incorporate changes into your project to take advantage of those opportunities. So a certain amount of flexibility is required. And again, you know, that's what you would do within project management. You would look at opportunities, not just impacts as to your project, but how can I actually take advantage of something that's come along, and how can we actually incorporate it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, in part of the process, is there a step that says, I mean, you can show my librarianship, the research stuff. I mean, it's not just sitting back and thinking about what I already know in my head. From my point of view as a librarian, part of the process should be going out there and researching.
That's exactly it. You would do that probably at the beginning.
I would hope.
And you probably would do it through the project as well. So up front, in terms of trying to identify all the different risk factors. But one of the main things that we use research in projects is really to look at other projects, similar projects, and to pull what we call best practices from those, or lessons learned, and bring them into our project.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to give the library message here, of course. We've got other books. We've got your book in the library on project management. We have a few other project management books. Mark, you mentioned this one by Gary Herkins, was it?
Yeah.
That one, you know the author, is reputable.
Yeah.
It would be a good one you'd recommend?
It's a very good book, yeah. It's a very sort of well laid out, and it's quite straightforward. It's not complex. It's something that you can quite easily read in a very short.
Oh yes, it's a small book, and it's called Project Management: 24 Steps to Help You Master Any Project. So yes, the library has books on project management that you could start out with there. But we also have a lot of databases, and we've got a new database called Business. It's brand new. What is it? Business Premier, I think, and it's going to have a lot of different resources in that as well. So watch the library's website. I'll be doing some training on that probably down the road. So yeah, researching. Now, you had said earlier, Mark, 9 steps. I mean, without getting you to list them all, are there steps in there that are most likely people will ignore or move quickly by that you would say, wait a minute, this is the step you really need to know?
Yeah, most people will sort of assume certain things, like, for example, communication management. You know, it's something inherent to what we do. And again, that step, communication management, is very important because what it does, it helps identify not just all your different stakeholders, but it helps you plan out how you're going to communicate with these different folks. So as you said, it was fortunate that you had a good relationship with your supplier.
Yes.
So as part of the planning process, you would incorporate when you would speak to different people.
Exactly.
And the kind of messaging that's important for them to hear that you need to bring to the table. So again, it's common sense.
Yes.
Right. But it forces you to recognize this early on. So you plan for it. And you have that call with that supplier.
That's right. And actually, I think that's part of the problem, but why it gets dismissed so easy. It is common sense. And we as individuals, think we've got it in our heads. Yeah, okay. But actually, I would encourage people to write it down, put it in a calendar. Does that sound?
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah. Just put it into the overall plan of things that you're going to do as you go along the project. And also the different points where it's going to be important to engage that particular person because of where you are in the project. Yes. So that supplier, there's going to be a critical part in the project where he or she needs to be engaged.
Right. And actually, it's funny because I'm thinking now, I might have to do this project management for that process. I'm looking to reevaluate our internal steps on processing of our materials, and I know in the back of my head, before I go too far down that road, I want to contact these vendors. And just out of respect, I need to contact them and say, when's a good time to talk to you about this? This is kind of what I'm looking at, as opposed to, surprise, here's my big change in plan. So planning even when to plan sounds like a step.
It is. And you need to put adequate time behind it. Again, it comes back to my experience with small businesses. A lot of people just rush into projects and just start doing it. They see projects as a sequential set of activities, and it's not. Project management is far more about planning, thinking, and then executing.
That's right. Okay, so if anyone wants to come out that evening, again, it's Thursday, January 17th. Now, it just struck me that if someone, Mark, is out there just thinking about getting into a project management, definitely that evening. But what if there's a person out there who's kind of feeling that they've started something, they're in over their head? Is it okay to come to this night? Are they going to get information that maybe we can slow them down and get back on track?
Absolutely, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because that's a big part of it as well, is as you're going through a project and things don't look right, what do you do? What are your options? You
know, yes.
And again, the whole approach will incorporate that. It will say, you know, checkpoint, here's your options, this is what you can do, and so on.
Actually, and I think people out there listening should be encouraged by that sometimes we all get ourselves into a mess sometimes and have to take a breather and step back. So if you're out there and you're thinking of starting a project, or you're in the middle of one and you're having trouble, come out and listen to the talk from Mark Kozak Holland, Thursday, January 17th at the library, 7 p.m. We're looking forward to it, and thank you so much, Mark, for coming in with us.
And thank you, Catherine.
You've been listening to Shelf Life, news from the Whitchurch Stouffville Public Library. For more information about library programs and services, check out our website at www.whitchurch-library.on.ca, or you can call the library at 905-642-7323 or toll-free at 1-888-603-4292. Or why not visit the library in person at 30 Burkholder Street in Stouffville? Thank you for listening.